In Paul's one against another, he's talked about the gospel of Christ versus, in the beginning of chapter 1, a different gospel. He's talked about faith versus works, grace versus merit, promise versus the law, Hagar versus Sarah, the present Jerusalem versus the heavenly Jerusalem, Isaac versus Ishmael, the spirit versus the flesh, freedom versus bondage, and now circumcision versus the cross. He sets them one against another. So what did Paul preach? The cross. This old Scottish theologian James Denny put it this way. He says, the aim of the epistle to the Galatians is to show that all Christianity is contained in the cross. That's one thing. I don't know if you probably all have either heard Franklin Graham or Billy Graham. And I'd love to hear either one of those two men when, you know, Billy, when he was younger, and almost without fail, CNN would interview him, ABC, doesn't matter who interviews him. And within about 59 seconds, guess what he's talking about?
The cross.
And you go, and you've got to hand it to him. So the scandalon, the word means a trap, like I said, a source of embarrassment, a stumbling block. Then it inevitably provokes a negative reaction. And Paul made this very clear to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 1:18 to 31. The Jews seek for what?
A sign.
A sign. They wanted a divine show and tell. And for them, the cross is a scandalon. The Greeks, 1 Corinthians, what do the Greeks want?
Wisdom.
For them, the cross is a scandalon. It's foolishness. Paul said in Romans, doesn't say this in 1 Corinthians, but what do the Romans want? They wanted power. For them, the cross is a scandalon because it represents weakness. Do you know that Romans could not, as citizens, were never crucified? It was considered too horrific of a punishment to crucify a Roman. So Romans were never crucified on a cross. Non-Romans were all the time. But Romans weren't. And in fact, later on in history, the word crux, C-R-U-X in Latin, became a swear word, because it was viewed so awful. For Paul, in other words, a cross-less Christianity leaves us helpless in the face of sin and death. And a cross-less Christianity is really no Christianity at all. John Stott says, circumcision stands for a religion of human achievement, and the cross stands for a religion of divine achievement. The cross is offensive, and it still is, even today. And finally, we come to chapter 5, verse 12. One commentator said, this is the crudest and rudest of all Paul's extant statements.
I like that
one. The crudest and the rudest. Wish they'd mutilate themselves. And basically the term there means literally self-mutilation. J.B. Phillips puts the verse this way. This is his translation. Tell those who are disturbing you, I would like to see the knife slip. Ooh, okay. But underneath that statement in chapter 5:12 is Paul's understanding that circumcision is merely a physical act. There is no salvation value to it at all. None. So what's with the mutilation thing? Well, in those days, it was actually a ritual. performed by the priest of Sibyl in Asia Minor. And once a year they would offer up sacrifices, and some of the priests would castrate themselves to honor the priest, or the god Sibyl. So it was not something unknown. And no doubt, we don't know obviously, but no doubt there may have been believers in Galatian churches who had come out of that pagan cult. They would instantly have gotten it when Paul said, I wish they'd just mutilate themselves. And go, whoa, what's he saying? He's saying the same thing he said in chapter 4, 8 to 9. Why are you turning back? He's basically repeating himself with different words. Why are you turning back to the elementary things of the world? It may also point, if he's speaking to the Jewish opponents, to Deuteronomy 23:1, where it says, no one who is emasculated or has his male organ cut off shall enter the assembly of the Lord. What's interesting is the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, reads in Deuteronomy 23, verse 1, Ecclesia Kurios, or Church of the Lord. So it's an ironic reversal for Paul. He's saying, go ahead, mutilate yourself, and then according to your own law, you will be cut off from the Church of the Lord. So go for it. Now, I don't think Paul was threatening him, but he was raising sarcasm to a new height. Basically saying, go ahead, because then by definition, you yourselves will be cut off from the church, and then by definition, you won't be bothering these poor people anymore. So these are harsh words. Like the commentator said, the crudest and rudest of all that Paul said. So Paul's theology teaches us, there's a popular proverb in today's culture, and if you ask the person on the street, how many of you know where in the Bible it says God helps those who help themselves? Is it in the Bible? No, it is not. And Paul's theology is refuting that and saying, no, it actually should read, God does not help those who help themselves. So as offensive as Paul's words may be, his theology is actually far worse. There is only one way to God, through Jesus Christ. We cannot save ourselves. It is by grace and grace alone. That, even today in our culture, is much more offensive. And say, why don't you go mutilate yourself? Oh, whatever. We'd blow that off. But if you tell somebody, especially on the Oprah Winfrey show, Jesus Christ is the only way, she's going to say, what are you, from the Stone Ages? Because that's offensive. And I think sometimes in our Christian walk, we lose the understanding of the offensiveness of the cross to a dying world. We lose how much that offended the early church and those believers. We are so used to the cross because we see it everywhere. You know, we wear it as necklaces, earrings, we hang it on our mirrors, we see it on the outside of churches, inside of churches, and we've grown used to it, haven't we? And we have lost the scandalon. To think that, I mean, for the Greeks, remember the Greeks had all sorts of different gods. You're telling me that a god, had to die for me? Are you nuts? That's foolishness. But Paul makes it clear in 1 Corinthians 1, the foolishness of God, the cross, is wiser than men. Yes, it is. Questions? Observations? Yeah. But why? That's a good point. Why in our culture is that so offensive?
Because we're used to doing it ourselves and we don't want to have to depend on somebody else.
Okay, I would submit to you, I agree. That, I think that's part of the reason.
It's part of the,
well, what's the other part?
Trying to be, what's the word? I can't think of the word to describe it. We want to
diversity.
What's that?
Diversity.
Diversity, okay, that's part of it too. We're supposed to be inclusive. We're supposed to be tolerant. So in our culture, is there such a thing in the United States culture, in the Western culture, as absolute truth? Well, I know there is. But does our culture agree there's absolute truth? And they will say, no, there's no such thing as absolute truth. And that's a really, you need to hear this. That's a really easy question to combat. You just ask them, are you absolutely sure of that? Because if they're absolutely sure that there's no absolute truth, what they just said makes no sense at all.
Yeah. And it's not politically correct.
No, it's not.
Yes.
So.
But the relativity that is taking place has gone even further because. Because science is also questioned. Proven science, basic stuff like in physics, they question that too. A good example would be the myth about vaccines and autism. You know, they say, well, no, I don't believe science. I believe other people, not science.
And that happened. Yeah, you're right.
More and more.
And that, I think, is very indicative of the fact that we don't trust much of anything anymore as far as authority figures, anybody, a truth claim. We throw it all out the window. Our culture throws it all out the window. So then when Christians come along and say, no, there is only one way, we go, excuse me? But I would submit to you, you know, if you had the opportunity to get into that kind of discussion with not even an atheist, just your run-of-the-mill American, that quickly breaks down because, okay, so what is truth? You know, if truth by definition has no meaning, and they would say, you know, and you can, I think you can, some of that you can go overboard and press, you know, say, so you wouldn't mind if I come in and if you don't believe there's any such thing as truth, then you don't have a problem with me breaking into your house and stealing stuff. Well, you can't do that. Why not? Because my truth says I can do that. Just because your truth says you can't, who are you to say my truth is wrong?
People that was receiving the most intolerance are Christians.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's, we are being painted with that brush.
Yes.
And it's interesting that I think, I want to say somebody wrote back about World War II that, you know, at first the Nazis were intolerant of the unemployed. And then they were intolerant of the gays. And then they were intolerant of the disabled. And then they were intolerant of the Jews. Then they were intolerant of pastors. And I tolerated everything, and now they won't even tolerate me. Yeah. And so you pretty soon you're going, okay, our culture's getting to that point where we are. And even this month, I mean, we talked about it last week or the week before. You know, if the Supreme Court this month would decide on the gay marriage thing, by definition, it's coming down the road that churches and pastors will be considered intolerant and discriminating if we don't also perform those type of weddings. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh. So you can see the path we're on.
Yeah.
And in some ways, we're a lot closer to ancient Rome than anybody else in history.
The term discriminating in some way used to be a good adjective, mm-hmm. like you were discriminating.
Yes.
One of the finest things.
Something that was better, or the best. Exactly, because you had discriminating taste. Yes. And now that word is...
bad.
Yeah, it's a bad word.
Well, it's like my Jim's great aunt. She was born like 1899. And she used to say, now that's very queer. That's not how she meant it. She meant the original queer.
It was just odd.
Yes.
Oh, don't say that anymore. Yes. I mentioned last week, and if you, heads up, if you want to watch, tomorrow night, after late afternoon, 5:30, it's on at 7:30 in Georgia, so it's 5:30 here, rzim.org, they're going to have a YouTube video of Ravi Zacharias and Os Guinness. They're giving a seminar or whatever at Georgia Tech on freedom. Os Guinness he's a Christian, I want to say sociologist. Somebody know better?
Works for me.
You'd have to look him up.
Will it be a debate or a conversation?
No, I think a presentation more, and then a Q&A afterwards. So.
What time did you say?
It starts at 5:30 our time. I don't know, Rodney. I'm not sure. I know they're talking about freedom, tolerance in America. And I just think, you know, it'd be based on, you know, what we just went through in Galatians last week on, you know, it was for freedom. I mean, obviously this isn't necessarily talking about spiritual freedom, but there will be, I would guess, part of the fabric of it. But, so.
And where do we see it again?
You'd have to go to rzim.org.
Okay.
And there will be, if you can't find it tomorrow, send me or call me or whatever. There should be a link on there, and it'll be live streamed on YouTube.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Pardon me? Yeah, next week. Well, we're meeting next week.
Yeah.
And after that. I could read Galatians if you'd like. I could read Galatians and then technically we'd have finished. But any other questions, comments, observations, biblical questions? We got about 10, 15 minutes. Yes. That's a good question. I've always wondered that one myself. I don't know.
The first one I ever saw was in the school that we lived in. And we would have our own chores.
No debaters.
Bathroom duty was one of the fun things I got to do.
Well, it's interesting, back in, we were in Israel, we went to Sothopolis, which is one of the places that also has an arena, and an amphitheater, and theater, and we saw there they had the public bathroom. It was outside. Open. Outside. And they had, everything was made out of stone, so they had a stone channel about that wide, running with the, obviously, diverted water from a stream or somewhere. And then they have two slabs of stone sitting across that channel with, like, curved parts. A curve, so you could sit on there, okay? And literally, there was one here, there was one here, there's one here, there's one here. And what's that? Yeah, it was all the way around, and that was what's.
That would have been for the...
No. What's the problem?
Well,
I don't know what your problem is.
If they ran in the
Very good. And see, part of that, you know, there was, Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians 7, you know, if you came to Christ circumcised, stay that way. If you weren't, stay that way. Because for the Jewish, some of the Jewish men were Hellenized in that they were, yeah, they were like the Sadducees. You know, they were Jews, but they really liked the power and they liked the Greeks and they liked the games and they liked the theater. But a Jew could not run in the games circumcised. So they had a surgical procedure they would do to actually, I don't know how they did that.
Skin graft.
Some sort of skin graft, I don't know. So that when they ran, they would be perceived as non-Jewish. So, but to answer your original question, I really don't know. But it's a good question. Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Lovely.
Well, that's true of all rural cultures. I had a grad student from Senegal. He, you know, he needed to go and got out by the center that I worked at on the highway. There he was, squatting down.
And you're going, dude.
Well, no, he said it's Senegal.
There was a chain of restaurants in Oklahoma City area called City Bites. They sell sandwiches and stuff. And their restrooms go in, and they've got one-way glass where you can see out.
Okay, that would be freaky.
Yes.
No, not going there. Remind me of that name. Any other questions, comments? Get away from the bathroom stuff. Galatians or anything else? No? Okay. Well, again, we will be meeting next week, and that will be our last time until August.
August 5.
Okay. Yeah, August 5. So, in the meantime,
that's my choice, so.
Jim's going to study up, and he's going to take over in August, and then by then, Jim Lesser will have his question formulated, maybe.
So while you're gone, shall we email you our question and you'll just write the emails back to us?
Hey, there's a nice.
You may do that, but there's no internet at the cottage, so I, you know. Hey, there you go. See, he's already offering you help.
Has he got large print?
I can make it large.
He can make it large. But anyway. Well, let's close in prayer, and then if you have any questions, we can carry on. Father, we thank you again for this evening that we can gather together to open and study your word. Father, I do pray that you would help us to remember that you have called us to be your athletes, to be ones who run the race that is set before us. That we would be a people who lay aside the sin that so easily entangles us and run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Father, may we never be a people who crawl through this Christian thing, the life we call spiritual journey of faith. May we be a people who run, who persevere, who press on. Lord, give us your grace by the power of your Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.